begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Peches. Begin 8 lines down from the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues by quoting a halacha that was mentioned in the previous daf, and elucidates that halacha. Gufa, we had mentioned in the previous daf that Amar Shmuel said, Hanoitel kli mino umen levakrev. Someone takes a utensil from a craftsman to inspect it to see if he wants to purchase it. He's in the store and he's looking at it. Venenis beyada, and then oinis, something beyond his control happens, it just shatters and it breaks. Chayiv, he's liable to compensate the owner. Now, the reason for that is, as we explained in the previous daf, is because we consider that as if he already acquired it to some extent, and hence he's going to be liable. If he was just looking at it, he wouldn't become chayiv. He doesn't have the liabilities of someone that has possession. He was touching it, so if he would break it, he would be chayiv as a mazik, but he didn't break it, and oinis happened. But he's going to be liable. Now, on that, the Gemara qualifies, V'hanemili hu dekitze dami. This is what the Gemara has come to clarify. This is only regarding something, and we had mentioned this halacha in the previous daf based on this premise, that if the value was already set, the price is well known. For example, like small types of utensils, which everyone knows that this is the going rate of how much it costs. So therefore, it's already considered as if this person, on some level, is the buyer. Now, as Rashbam brings the Gemara Masechet and the Dharma explains this halacha of Shmuel specifically by something that is a very easy sell. Meaning it's a certain item that there's many people that would jump on the opportunity of buying this thing, where the seller has no benefit with this guy wanting to buy his item because he has many buyers willing to buy it. Now, so therefore, when this consumer is holding it, it's only his benefit. Because the seller doesn't benefit from holding it. Get off my stuff. You want to buy it, buy it. If not, I have 100 people that's waiting to buy it. So essentially, that makes the buyer, when he's holding it up, like a shayel. And hence, because like just like a shayel, kol ano shalai, we call him, that's why he's chayv in ol einzin. Here, the guy who picks it up, since all the benefit is his, he's going to be chayv in einzin too. As the Gemara there brings a price that says the same idea, where, again, because it has a set price, and it's an easy sell, so when he picks it up, either we already consider like he bought it already, or we view him again like we said, like a shayel, where since he has all the benefit, therefore he's going to be liable for an einus, even though he's just picking it up to look at it, to see, inspecting, to go ahead and buy it. Now, really relating to this halacha, the Gemara brings the following incident. Ahu gavra da'ala bei tavra. Certain individual went to the butcher, and agba atma de bistri, picked up a thigh to look at it, to buy it, and he wanted to see, is it a fatty piece of meat? Is it a lean piece of meat? Now, Bahadiduka Akbad, the moment when he was holding it up, Asa Parsha, a horseman came, and Marimine grabbed it away from him. And so now it was no more. So Asa Kamid Rabbi Yemir came in front of Rabbi Yemir, and Chayve Lishlumi Dummy, and he held him liable to compensate the owner of the butcher. He was just in the store. Some guy came, hold up, and this guy just happened to be holding up an item in the store, and the guy grabbed it away, ran away. He's Chayv. And said the Gemara, V'hanimila, who the kids dummy. This is only if the item had a set price, which is exactly like Shmuel's halacha. Since it had a set price, the moment you pick it up, hey, you don't want this great piece of meat, someone else is going to run up and get it anyway. And therefore, you're like a shayul, you're like a lekech, and therefore you're chayv for the einsin, even though, again, there was a situation of einus. Another related incident the Gemara brings, Ahu gavra, the icy kari lefum nara. There's an individual that brought gourds, certain type of vegetables, to Pumnara, it's the name of the place. And Asukuli Amashokal Karakar, so everyone came and they were grabbing to buy these gourds that he came. It was a hot item and everyone was grabbing it. So Amal, who he said to all the people that were assembled grabbing all his gourds, he said, Harehin Mukdashim L'Shamayim, you know what? All my gourds, they're all hektish for heaven. Now the reason why he did this was because he didn't know how to collect his money. Everyone's grabbing, and he's not going to be able to get a hold of it, so he wanted to make it forbidden for them. So everyone's going to drop it like hotcakes. I don't want hektish stuff. And then he'll be able to recoup his losses. Now, Asla Kamid Rav Kahana, so all the consumers who already grabbed it, already had it in their pockets, already on the way out, they came in front of Rav Kahana. Amalahu, he said to them, "In order makdish davar she'eino shelo, a person cannot sanctify something to hekdish that's not his." The pasuk says in Yukachav Zayin, "Kiyakdish ishes beisa." When a person sanctifies his house, which means just like his house, he's in possession of it, so too, what he wants to be makdish, he has to be in possession of it. Now, therefore, he told them that since here these gourds had a set price, so the ones who already held it up already merited in it, like Shmuel's halacha. And therefore he qualified so too, as we said before, it's only if it has a set price. If it has a set price and you already held it up, it's already yours and he can't renege, he can't be makdish it anymore because it's not his. But you're right, if there was no set price for it, then b'shus marai kaimu, then it always had, was in the domain of the seller. And b'shah praktish, and then he says, then if it was that situation, then he most definitely was able to, and he was makdish. Now, the reason why this is not similar, says Rashbam, to the halacha of when someone, as the Gemara Baba Kama Samachesim Abay speaks about this, when someone steals something from someone else, and the original owner didn't give up hope of getting it back, where the Gemara says over there that both cannot be makdish. Not the ganav, not the gazlan, and not the one that it was stolen from. Zelafisha in the shaloi, vezelafisha in the b'shusa. The gazlan is because it's not really his; he's a thief. The real owner cannot be makdish because it's not in his domain. So why over here was he able to be makdish? Even if you say that it wasn't kitz damei or it wasn't a set price, and therefore they weren't kainit yet, but it's still not in his hand; it's in their hands. And how was he able to be makdish? And that says Rashbam. Here, when they took it, their intention was not to steal. They were all just grabbing, that's how people do sometimes, to buy it. Now, since there was no set price, again, that's what we're going with, then they didn't have what's called smichas das. They weren't so confident that they're going to for sure buy it, because maybe they're going to find out what the price is, and they're going to say, oh my, forget about it, I don't want this, they're going to give it back. So therefore, it's still considered as if it's even in the reshus of the original owner. Meaning, when it's stolen, it's not in his reshus, even though he's the real owner, because they grabbed it away, they're gazlan, they have it now. Here, they're just holding on to it. They're not considered as if they took it. So it's even though it's in their hands, it's still considered in his reshus. And therefore, if it was not a set price, his hektish was a hektish, and then they cannot keep it. Now, relating to this halach of Shmuel, the Gemara brings the following brisa. Tarabon, we're in the brisa. Halakeach yerek min hashuk. If someone is buying vegetables, herbs from in the marketplace, now specifically it's talking about that a chaver, which is a talmid chacham that's a scrupulous in his halacha, is purchasing from an ama aretz, from ignoramus. Now, ubeir v'hiniach, now what he's doing, he's selecting and putting down. He's looking what's the best items, he finds, puts it on the side, finds another one, puts it on the side, but he didn't have in mind that he's going to buy them. He's going to the store and that's what he's doing, he's selecting and putting on the side. Says the Braisa, even if he's doing this the whole entire day, from 9 a.m., it's already 5 p.m., he already has tons of stuff on the side. Says the Braisa, he hasn't yet acquired it, and therefore he's not liable to separate Meiser from these stuff. And the reason for that is because his whole intention was only just to select the good items. But he didn't have intention yet to purchase it, so it's not his, he doesn't have an obligation of separating types from that produce. But says the Braisiv, Gamar Bali Baliknoisai, let's say he wasn't just selecting and picking out the best stuff. He was intending, as he was picking it out and putting it on the side, that he's going to buy these items. Then says the Braisiv, Kana, so he's already acquired it, Minashaiv Bemeiser, and therefore immediately he has the obligation of whenever you buy from the Amma Oretz, the ignoramus, we suspect that he didn't separate Trumas and Meisers, so immediately, since his intention is to acquire it, so it's like his, and he has the obligation already to separate the types. Now, the only thing is, that's okay if he ends up buying it, so fine. He already had the obligation then, he'll buy it and he'll separate the tithes, like any demai that you buy. But the thing is, if let's say he ends up deciding, gets a call from his wife, that's it, don't buy it, he wants to change his mind, he doesn't want to buy it at then. Then says the Braisa, then he's in the bind. Lihach zero efshar, to return it as is without separating Meiser, he can't do that. Why? Because as we just explained, shekvar nechayev b'meiser. Because from the moment that he intended that he wants to buy it and he was putting it on the side, he already became obligated in separating meiser. Why? Because a chaver, tam chachem, is not allowed to go ahead and release something that's his, that's not fixed. And since it's his, even if he's going to give it back to the original owner and he doesn't have to charge him because he's giving back the item, the problem is it's like he's selling it back to him and he's selling him something that's untithed. And he can't because it was his and he didn't separate meiser. Now the thing is, there's also ula astra efshar. Neither can he. Okay, so he put the items on the side. I'm not buying this. Okay, you know what? Let me take off a tenth, and I'll give it to the Levi, and I'll take off trimmers. I'll give it to the kohen, and then I'll put the produce right back onto the aisle. He can't do that either. Shekvar mafchisin bedamim, because then he's causing a loss to the owner, where now there's less produce here because he took off a tenth and he gave it to some Levi, to some kohen. So he can't just cause him a loss. So haketzad says the Braisa. So what does he do? Says the Braisa, what he has to do is, again, if he doesn't want to buy the produce, is ma'asra, he's got to take over a tenth and give it to the Levi, and then he has to compensate the store owner, he's got to give him back a tenth that he took away, gave it to the Levi, and the rest he gives back, as it is. That's what the Braisa says. Ask the Gemara in this Braisa, I don't understand. Atu mishum de goma beliba liknus, what? Because he just, in his heart, wanted to buy it, kanav and ischayv b'meiser. So that's considered as if he already bought it and it becomes obligated in meiser. But why? Even if it has a set price, and this is going back to Shmuel's halacha, but he could still give it back and then he'll be exempt. So where does the obligation over here of meiser, because he wanted to, where do we see that as if he acquired it and that it's his, and then therefore he has to separate meisers? And he can't, but he doesn't want it anymore, so he's got to pay him for a tenth that he has to give to Levi. And that Amar Bahishi says, you're right, but Hochem Yerisha Mayimaskin. Here this Bryce is talking about specifically a God-fearing person. Kagan Rav Safra, like Rav Safra, where there was an incident with Rav Safra, one time he was reciting Krishma, and a certain individual said, give me from your merchandise and I'll pay you this amount of money. Now, this person thought that the reason why Rav Safra was not responding to him, was being silent, was because, you gotta be kidding me, that's not enough. So he was just silent, like ignoring. So the guy upped the price. Now, after he finished davening, he did not want to take the amount that the guy had upped it to. He only wanted to take the original monies that the guy offered, because when he heard the original offer, in his heart, he was like, yeah, I'll sell for that, but just he couldn't talk because he's in the middle of davening. So Rav Safra was the type of person, the kind benafshe that fulfilled by himself, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, v'dover emes bilvavoy. He talks the truth in his heart. So to over here, by Meister is the same thing. Since this person we're talking about is a Yirei Shamayim, a God-fearing person, who since at least in his heart, he already concluded that he's going to buy it and as if it's already his. So it's at that point that he already became obligated in all the obligations of what he bought, which is a separate term as a Meister's, and therefore when he gives it back, it's almost like as if he's selling it back to the original owner, and that's why he has to separate Meister's and compensate him for that. But you're right, a regular person never bought it and doesn't have an obligation. It would tell my Yerisha Mayim, who doesn't go just on what he says, he goes even on what he concludes in his heart. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which spoke about Kinyanim, like the previous Mishnais we're talking about, and specifically about the certain honesty in business dealings, and specifically regarding selling items that have to be weighted. So the Mishnah says, Hasitain, who that's like a wholesaler who sells in bulk, and he sells to retail stores who they sell it individually. Now the reason why it's called a Sitain, says Rashbam, is because in Greek, Chitin is called Sitain. And since he buys so much wheat in bulk at one time, so he's called a Sitain. So it's such a wholesaler, when he's selling to retail stores, Mekanech Midaisav, he has to wipe off his measuring cups, his measuring utensils. Now, the reason why he has to wipe it off is because the wine and the oil that he has in that measuring that he pours out when he's selling it to the retailers, it gathers over there and it congeals over there. So it ends up getting stuck, and that ends up diminishing the measurement that he's giving over to the retailer. As the Mishnah will later on qualify, we're talking about certain measuring cups of liquid. So liquids could congeal and get stuck. So he's got to wipe it down so that it doesn't congeal and just hard, it's like a rock, and that actually what's being measured is less than what should be. Once every 30 days, you got to wipe it down. Now, Ubala Bayis, a homeowner who doesn't sell as often as a wholesaler, so him, it's enough once a year because he doesn't have that much there that's going to get stuck over there. And therefore, Echad L'Shnei Masal Chedesh, once every 12 months, he has to wipe down his measuring cups. Rav Shimon Gamliel, he actually says, Chilef Advar. It's the opposite of what the Tanakhama said. The wholesaler has to wipe it down only once a year because since he's constantly using it, he's always selling, so the liquid doesn't have time to just sit there and congeal. But a homeowner who doesn't sell so often, so it could congeal after a shorter period of time because it's just sitting there and it's going to dry up, so he's actually got to do it once every 30 days. Continues the Mishnah. Chenveni. So we spoke about so far a homeowner or a wholesaler. Now we're talking about a chenveni, a store owner. Mekanech midesa pamayim b'shabbos. He's got to wipe down his measurements 2 times a week. Now, Rashbam brings from his teachers that the interpretation is, like the Tanakhama, where since he's constantly selling, even more than a wholesaler makes big, big business dealings. He's selling to people all the time, so he does it more than a homeowner and more than a wholesaler, so he's got to wipe it down more often. Like Tanakhama had made it sound, whoever does it more often, he's got to wipe it down more often. But Rashbam doesn't like it. He says, because if that would be the case, then that this wouldn't be the halacha, because halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, any place as we have in our Mishnayos, and moreover, is that actually Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees to this din, because Mishnah continues and Rav Shimon Gamliel qualifies this din. But you're saying that it's not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, because it's dependent on that machlekes Rav Shimon Gamliel and Tanakhama regarding Tanakhama says what's more often, Rav Shimon Gamliel actually says the opposite. And also, if it's true that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees with this halacha, then actually, then why doesn't it say what he holds the measurement is of how often it has to be wiped down by the chemini, just like he said his opinion how often it has to be wiped down by the balabais and the sitan. So Rather, Rashbam gives a different interpretation. He says, actually, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees to this halacha of the store owner, where although he sells pretty often, so then actually it should actually need less, like he held regarding the sitan in contrast to the balabais. But since a chen v'ni, as actually we learned this halacha in the previous Mishnah, does not have to, when he's pouring out the liquids to the customer, doesn't have to wait till the three drops come out, so actually there's more that gets stuck inside, and therefore it gets more crusted inside, because there's more quantity left inside, and that's why he has to wipe it down more often. Continues the Mishnah. Also, what a store owner has to do is, umamach, he has to wipe down mishkalois of his weights. These are certain stones that are used as weights, which are used to weight liquids and meat, which on the scale, he has to wipe down the weights pamachas b'shabbos once a week, because stuff could get stuck on it, and it could affect the quality of the truthfulness of the weights. Umekaneich miznayim, and he has to wipe down the scales. I'll call mishkal a mishkal. Every single time that he weighs something that he's selling in the store, he's got to clean out the weights first. And the reason for that is because actually more stuff gets stuck on it than the weights, because it actually has a receptacle. That's where you put the stuff down on it every time. So stuff are going to be in there. You got to wipe it down, because or else it's not going to be totally honest regarding the next person's sale. Now, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, he qualifies this halacha, and he says, "Bamed v'amum, when did we say this, that you got to wipe it down? All these wipings is only by things that are used belach. Things that are used for things that are moist, that have moisture to them, like a piece of meat, wine, or oil, of the yavish, but by dried goods, like by fruits or peppercorns, things that are totally dry, then in the tzarach, then you have to wipe it down because nothing gets attached to it, nothing gets stuck on it, it's totally dry, it comes right off, then you don't have to have this halacha of wiping down. Now, as we continue the Mishnah Amud Beis, another related halacha to this idea is b'chayv l'hachriyaloi. That is, when he's weighing with the weights, so he's got to weigh down the scale part, that of the cup of the scale that's on what the customer is buying, that of, let's say, he's purchasing a piece of meat. You got to push that down, weigh it down, a tefach, a measurement of a tefach, which is that the meat should be weighing down more than the litra, that the weight that you're weighing it against, which means to say that's savings for the customer. Because that's how you could tell how much he owes you when it weighs down the other way. Here you got to weigh down a tefach more than the actual weight of the meat. Now, the Gemara actually will explain that this halacha is only in a place where the custom is to do this minig of what's called bimachriya, of weighing down. And the Mishnah is just qualifying. So this halacha of the minig of when you machriya is by a tefach. Now, the same thing would apply if, let's say, it's 10 litra that he's buying at one time. You also, the hachra would only be a tefach, as the Braisa says in the Gemara, that you always give one hachra for no matter how much he's buying. Just Rashbam points out that it seems to him that, but if the guy's buying less than a litra of meat, which is very little, then you're not going to make a hachra of a tefach, because that would be way too much savings for such a small amount of thing. But in general, a regular amount of thing, you'll weigh it down the tefach, which are savings for the customer. Now, continues the Mishnah. But let's say hayishoykeloi ein ba'ein. Let's say he was weighing exact for what the weights are for the item that he's buying. What that means to say is that, for example, let's say it's a place where the custom is not to be machriya. No, whatever the exact weights are, that's what it's sold for. Then there's a different halacha. Then noisenloi, then you got to give to the individual, besides the actual weight of the meat that he's buying, which is the fair price, you also have to give him gerumen. You have to give him, which actually means the same thing as the halacha that we said just before of machriya. So what does that mean? You got to give him echad la'asara belach. You got to give him 1 to 10 regarding when it's liquid measurements, ve'echad la'esrim b'yavish, and 1 to 20 when it comes to dry measurements, which the Gemara is going to explain what that means. It doesn't mean 1/10 or 1/20. The Gemara will explain. Now, the Gemara learns out this halacha from Sukkim, that a seller has to give to the buyer something a little bit more from his own, besides for the actual weight, meaning he's charging him exactly how much it costs. This is how much the weight is, this is how much you got to pay. He's got to give him a little bit more. That's what the word gerumen means. It's a term of hachra. It means also to weigh down. Because actually you find the halacha by shechita, when something that can make the animal non-kosher during the slaughtering is called hagrama. Hagrama is also means to say that you're bending, you're leaning, which is that's what happens when you're slaughtering. You move out of the place of the shechita of the animal. That's this idea of gerumen, of you got to weigh it down. So although the minig of that place is not to weigh it down, though the scales are exactly, but you got to still weigh down something. Thereby, in this situation, I mean, you got to give him a little bit more than what he's actually buying. Now, moreover, continues the Mishnah. Malkum shenogu lomud bedaka. If the custom of the place is to use small measurements, meaning when you measure, the measuring cup holds just a kav, then lo yomid begasa. Then you should not measure with large measuring cups, which is, let's say, a saw, because that would be a loss to the consumer. Because now, from the six kavan that he's buying, he's only going to get one hechra, meaning, let's say, he'll only get that tefach more, he's going to lose that five times over. Now, this is even in a place where they actually don't give, they smooth it out, because it's still not possible to smooth it out exactly. In other words, you're going to get something a little bit more, and if you're changing the custom of the place, it's going to be a loss this way for the lekech, and so to the other way. But gossip, let's say the custom of the place to use large scales, then lo yomid bedaka, then you should not measure with a small one, because that's going to be a loss for the seller, because you can't smooth it out that much, and therefore, if you're going to be using smaller ones, he's going to have to weigh it again and again, and each time is going to be a gain for the consumer to the loss of the seller. And limchik, let's say the custom is to smooth out the measurement, meaning you make it even exactly on the top, then lo yigdish. Then you should not do what's called like a heaping measurement, even as the Gemara will explain, that he wants to pay him a third more for the heap, which is a third more. Still, the Gemara will explain why you shouldn't do that. And ligdush layimchik, if the custom is to do heaping, then you should not smooth it out. Even if the seller is going to charge him less because of that, still you should not change from the custom of the place, from changing from mechika to gedisha, or like we said in the previous halachas, from gasa to daka or daka to gasa, and also the other halacha regarding what the when depending if you do hachra or gidumin, whatever the custom is, then you have to work appropriately with that halacha of hachra. Now the Gemara asks, Menon Amili, where do we know this from? Now, the Gemara's assumption is, what the question is this that we said, that when you're doing hachra, which is on the top of our amud, in the middle of the Mishnah, that said you have to be machri, you have to weigh down, add on a little bit more to weigh down the side of the meat, a tefach, the Gemara thinks that that's what the Gemara's asking on, where do we know the halacha from? So Amar Shlokesh, he says, the amakra, the pasuk says in the Varm, it says that even shalema b'tzedek, a complete and righteous stone, should be used for your weights. I mean, there shouldn't be any tricks over here. Now, the thing is that the word v'tzedek is superfluous, because if it's whole, then of course it's righteous. So that's coming to tell us a drasha, which is that even if you're measuring with a whole weight, still the word tzedek is telling you, tzedek mishalcha v'tenloi. Give charity from your own and give it to the buyer, which that's alluding to this halacha of hachra, of weighing it down. Now, the same thing is regarding your measuring cups, that you should measure in a little bit in excess, so that you should be giving a little bit more than what the measurement is. Now, the Gemara asks, but if that's the source for this halacha, that it's a biblical source, that you have to do hachra, then look at the next case of the Mishnah. Mishnah said, let's say he's weighing equal for equal. So then, the Mishnah said, so what you got to do is you got to give him a little bit more, add on a little bit more. Now ask the Gemara, but if you just pointed out that this halah of achra is biblical, when you're weighing, you got to weigh his side down a little bit more to give him savings, then how do you understand this case of the Mishnah? How could it be such a case when you're doing equal, when you just said that it's a gzeiras hakasa, that you have to weigh down the weight a little bit more to his side? So how can you say, oh, when you don't, oh, then you got to do something else. What do you mean when you don't? You have to, it's a gzeiras hakasa. So Ella rather says the Gemara, and you're right, there's no biblical decree to do hachra, to weigh down his side at the time of the weighing. Rather, reisha b'makom shenogu, that first halacha was talking about, if that's the custom of that place, meaning it depends on custom. If they want to weigh down the scale when they're weighing, in place of the gerumim, which is to give him a little bit more after you already measured, so that's their choice, depends on the custom of the place. And then, if the custom place is to do it during the time of the weighing, that they're doing this hechra, that's when the Mishnah explains, oh, then you need to have a tefach. Because the Torah is only particular that you should add on something to what's being weighed. You could either do it during the weighing, which is hechra, or afterwards, which we call gerumen. And rather, b'chiyitmer Rish Lakish, when did we have this halacha that Rish Lakish was coming in to answer a question, was a seifitmer. It was going on the seif, meaning on the next case, which we just quote. The Mishnah said, if he's weighing equal for equal, so then you have to give him a little bit more. After when he's leaving, give him a little bit more. You got to add on something. Of that, the question was, where do we know that from? That you have to add on more than what he weighed. What do you mean? It's fear. He paid $20 worth of meat for the $20 worth of weights. So on that in Rosh Lakish, that's what he says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, V'tzedek, well, that word tzedek comes to tell you, tzedek mishalcha v'tenloi, charity from yours, you should then go ahead and give him, which is you got to give him a little bit more. That's what the Torah wants. And again, you could do that either during the weighing or afterwards. Now that says the Gemara, V'kama gerumen, and how much is that little bit more that you should add on to him as he's leaving beyond of what you weighed for him? Amar Baba Mamam, Amar Rav, it's echad ma'asara berlitra balach, it's 1/10 of a litra when we're talking about liquid measures, la'asara litrin for 10 litras. Meaning when you're weighing 10 litras, then you take 1/10 of that. That comes out for a total of 1/100. Now, as Rashbam points out, that it's from the words of the Mishnah that said an interesting terminology, as we're going to quote actually in the next line, the words of the Mishnah. The words of the Mishnah were, Echad le'asar balach, 1/10 when it comes to liquid measurements. Now, if it really meant 1/10, it should have said Echad me'asar balach, 1 from 10, which is how you call 1/10 in liquid. So what's 1 to 10? So therefore, this Amayr was pointing out, must be that there are words missing from the Mishnah, and this is what the Mishnah really means to say. The word me'asar is missing. Echad me'asar, 1 from 10, le'asar balach, when it comes to 10 of liquid measurements. Now, so what's the understanding? Rashbam says that it was an excess for the Tana to have to mention the word asara 2 times. So he left one of the words asara out. But you could infer it from the words when you say echad le'asar balach, echad, what do you mean? 1 of what? 2 to what? Oh, so must be it was that same word that it, instead of repeating it, it was 1 from 10 to 10. So 1/10 of 10 is for a total of 1/100 of what there is. That is the amount of the excess that you have to give him. Now, the Mishnah said, as we just quoted, Echel asar balach, 1/10 for liquid measurements, and 1 to 10, which we just said is 1 from 10 when there is 10. The Echel esrim b'yavash b'chul, 1 to 20 when it comes to dried goods. Now, Ibayilu did the following question, based on what we just explained. Heichin kamar, what is the Mishnah saying? Echad ma'asar balach, la'asar delach. So we just explained the first halacha when it comes to liquid. We said that it's 1 from 10 when there is 10. So 1/10 of 10 is 1/100. That's how much you have to give extra by liquids. Now, when then the Mishnah continues and says, ve'echad, what's ve'echad le'esrim de'yavish? Is it ve'echad me'esrim be'yavish le'esrim de'yavish? In other words, the Gemara wants to understand this halacha of the Seifa. What's the Mishnah saying? We understand by liquid that the word that was left out is the same word as the next word. So just like by liquid, it's 1 from 10 to 10, is the same thing by dried goods that the word that was left out was 20. So it's 1 from 20 to 20, which that would be actually 1/400. Or maybe no. The word echad me'asara is actually for both. I mean, it doesn't say me'asar, but that echad is going on both. So echad me'asar, it's 1/10, la'asar delach, ula'esim de'yavish, for when there's 10 of liquid, and when there's 20 of dried goods, which that would actually be 1/200 of dried goods, because the word echad me'asar would be going on both. Now, either way, it definitely comes out that by dried goods, you have to give less than you're giving by liquids. So on that explains the Rashbam, is because when you're giving liquids, when you're selling, as we said, liquids could get stuck in the vessel that you're pouring out from to the consumer, and not everything's going to be coming out. So therefore, you have to add on more for that excess, more than by dried goods, wherever you're selling, everything you're selling is going in. So therefore, it's either 1/200 or 1/400, but by liquid, you got to give more, you got to give 1/100. So nothing more says take it, but let it stand, it's not clear what is that regarding the dried goods, is it 1/200 or 1/400? Continuing on this theme about measurements, Amr Blevi says, Kasha Einjin Shel Midos. It's harsher the punishment of measurements if you do something inappropriate, incorrect, unethical with them. Yesim Einjin Shel Arayos, more than the punishment of sexual relationships if one stumbles in that area. Now, the reason how we know this is Shezen Nemo Behen, because regarding when it says in the Yikra, it says El, by Arayos, by immoral relationships, it says, Es Hata'evis Ha'el, these abominations. Now, v'zeh nemar behen eila, but by measurements it says eila, where it says kol oisa eila kol oisa ova, whoever does these things does these inappropriate things. Now, the word eila is more harsh than ale, and that's why it adds on the extra word hey to expand it and to make it more harsh. Now, it says the Gemara, my mashma the high ale kashu. How do we know that the word ale means something is harsh, is strong, is difficult? So like it says in Pasuk in Yecheskel, it says ves ale ha'aretz lakach, that the strong ones of the land he took. You see the word ale means strong. So by Raias, it's a strong, severe aver. It says ale. But by Midas, it says ale to say it's even more harsh than that of a Raias. Now the Gemara asked, but Gabay Raias nami hoksev ale. What do you mean by a Raias? It also says a Pasuk in the Yikra, it says kol ha'shayasim mikol ha'ta'ivis ha'ale v'nichrasu. Whoever does from any one of these abominations will get karas. So a Raias also says ale. Why are you saying Midas is more severe than a Raias? That the Gemara says no, because Eila by Midas, it's saying it for the intrinsic need of Midas, to say it's harsh. But by Arayas, the only reason why it says Eila is Hahula Ma'ute Midas Mikaris. It was only being used as an exclusion of if someone does something unethical with weights, that he doesn't get Karis. In other words, because you would have thought to say that since being unethical with weights is called an abomination, so therefore it would be included in what the Pasuk says by Arayas, Kol HaShayasim Mekol HaTa'avis. Whoever does one of these abominations will get Karis. So if we didn't write Eila, then we would have thought to say that it would also get Karis. That's why it says Eila, which sounds like these, only by Arayas to get Karis, but not by something else which is similar, which is Midas, there is no Karis. Now, moreover, it's not because of a Gzeres Shava that we would have thought that it should also have Karis, because here it says Eila and here it says Eila, because you cannot make a Gzeres Shava by yourself. A Gzeres Shava is only something you have a Messiah from your teachers going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, so we didn't need somebody to exclude it because we wouldn't have a Gzeres Shava in the first place. Moreover, it's not like we would have thought that you would know it from a Kabbal Chaymer, which as the Gemara is actually going to point out this idea, where because Arayas you could do Tshuva. But by Midas you can't even do Tshuva, so maybe that's why you think that we need to exclude it. No, says Rashbam, because Ein Oinshin Min HaDin, you can't make a punishment based on the law, rather from the understanding, and therefore since that law is more severe, it doesn't make it that you can make a Kabbal Chaymer. But rather, it's because it says that it calls it a Te'eva, so you would have thought it has the same halacha. That's why you need Eila to exclude the halacha of Midas from getting Karas. No, so the Gemara says, but Ve'ela Mayad Fayu. Then what exactly makes Midas more severe than Arayas? Because since you just explained by Arayas this Karas, which obviously means it's a very severe punishment, and like you see, he gets Karas, so, and by Midas is no Karas, so why are you saying that the punishment of Midas is worse than Arayas? So the Gemara says, the reason why it's worse is because the Hasim Efshe B'tshuva. Because by Arayas, at least repentance helps if someone does an appropriate tshuva. Like it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Shuva van Meshevavim, repent, O wayward sons, Epa Meshevasechem, I will heal your waywardness. And so too the Gemara says in Sechtes Makis that whoever is Chayiv Karas, if he gets lashes, he's already exempt from his Karas. So even though Arayas gets Karas, but you can get out of that. But V'hacha Le'efshe B'tshuva, but by unethical weights, it's not possible to do repentance. Because such a person has been selling to the masses of people, and he can't do repentance because the tshuva is to return what was stolen. Like the Pasuk says, and he doesn't know who he stole from, how much, and to return it to them. Now Rashbam says, also, although the Gemara says elsewhere, if someone stole from the masses, what should he do? He should make something that the public needs, do a public function that everyone's going to have benefit from, so that is a repentance. That says Rashbam, that's not a true repentance. It's because you're not really returning what was stolen to that individual. It's just that the Gemara says the best thing you can do is to salvage something, is to do something that everyone will have some benefit, but it's not a true repentance, and therefore it's a worse consequence of by Midas than it is by Arayas. Another similar teaching from V'omer Blevi, he says, Kasha Gazel Hedyet, it's more harsh the theft when you steal from a regular person, Yisim Igezel Gavai, more than when you steal from Hashem, from Hektish. Why? Shezeh, because we find when someone steals from a regular person, Hiktim Chet L'Me'ila, the Pasuk prefaces the sin even before the misappropriation, even before the benefit. As the Pasuk says, Nefesh Kisechet, that when a person is going to sin, U'mol Amol B'Hashem, and he's going to do Me'ila, V'chichish B'Amisei, because he's going to lie to his friend and say, what? You deposited something from me? I don't know what you're talking about. And he's going to steal it. We find that the moment he just started stealing, before he even used it, meaning at the time when he's just denying, he didn't even use it yet, he's already called a sinner. Only then does the Pasuk talk about Me'ila that he then misappropriates and has benefit. So you see, he's a sinner right away in the beginning. Whereas Vezeh by Hekdesh, Hiktim Me'ila L'chet, the Pasuk prefaces the misappropriation, the having benefit, and only then the sin. As it says, Kisimol Mal, when the person will misappropriate, V'chata B'shkaken, he'll sin inadvertently, which is that he's not called a Chayti until he's all the way at the end where he finally benefits from it. So you see that the sinner is stronger by stealing from a regular person than he is when he steals from Hashem. Another teaching from Vomer Blavi, another contrast. Bayre'e, come and see. Shaloike midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midas basa b'dam. That the characteristic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like the characteristic of a flesh and blood person. Because what we see is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful, and his blessings are more plentiful than his curses. But a person, his curses are more than his blessings. Where do we find this? We find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Berech Yisrael be'esrim b'shtayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the Jewish people with 22, v'kilulan b'shmayna, and he cursed them with 8. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains. Baruchan be'esrim b'shtayim, he blessed them with 22, because we find in the Teichecha in Parashat B'chukaisai, me'im b'chukaisai, if you start off from the parashat, it says, im b'chukaisai, teilechu, etc., ad kaimimirs, until the word kaimimirs, which is talking about the blessings if the Jewish people keep the Torah, it's the letter that the Torah starts off there in that parasha is with an aleph. And if from the word im, and if you continue to the end of where the brachas end, is the word kememiyos, the last letter is a tough. That is the 22 letters of the aleph base, besides those which are the kafulais, which is the enda, and the mem, and the nun. There's 22 letters over there, and it's starting from aleph till tough. So you see, Hashem is blessing the Jewish people with the 22 letters of the aleph base. Yet v'kal and b'shmayna, when he curses them, it's only with eight of the letters of the aleph base. Because when it starts the curses, me ve'im b'chukaisit himasa, which starts from the vav ve'im, and if in my statutes you will revile, ad, and where does it end? Ve'schukaisa gala nafshim, and then my statutes will revolt you. So it goes from a vav till a mem. That's 8 letters. So he only curses with 8 letters. Ve'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu, in contrast, by Moshe Rabbeinu, baruchan b'shmayna, he blessed him with 8, v'kelin b'esem b'shtayim, and he cursed him with 22. What is that? B'richim b'shmayna, he blessed him with 8, it was a continued type of peitesim and aleph, me'vahayim shemaya tishma. In parashas v'yikisavai, in the parasha of, and if you will surely hear, v'adla of them, until to serve them, that's by the blessing, v'kelin b'esem b'shtayim, and which is, that's only from a vav till a mem. So that's 8 letters of the aleph bays in the blessing. V'kilon be'esrim b'shtayim, and he cursed him with 22. M'v'hayi im lo yisishma, that if you're not going to listen, ad ve'in koina, until it ends off their curse with, and there won't be anyone that's even going to want to buy you as slaves, where he's calculating, it starts with a vav. It ends off with a hey, which is, that's the whole aleph bays, all the 22 letters, until ve'in koina, where it's like it's going all the way around, and it ends up with the hey right before, he cursed them with all the 22 letters. So you see the contrast with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the human being, where a human being has more letters in the curse than the blessings, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has more letters in the blessing than the curse.